This is Equestrian Legacy Radio's Saddle Up America. I'm Gary Holt, and joining me in Missouri is our co-host, Tina Mae Weber. Good morning, Tina Mae.
Good morning, Gary. Are you staying dry today?
We're staying dry as long as we stay inside. So it's a little bit wet, but it's a lot nicer than the snow and the ice that we've had for the last month. So I think spring is on its way, and we have folks that are just chomping at the bits to get out on the trails. And a great show lined up today, so tell us who we have joining us.
Well, today we have Robert Eversall, the Trailmeister. Then we travel to Yamhill, Oregon, and talk with Jessica Reber and Barbara Mitchell, owner of the Flying M Ranch.
All right, so we're going to have a good show. It's always great to talk with Robert the Trailmeister Eversole, and I'm really looking forward to talking with the folks out in Oregon. It's a historic facility that they have out there, so it's going to be a lot of fun. And we're going to get to that in just a moment, but right now we remind folks that Saddle Up America is made possible by TrailGuard, 24-hour roadside travel assistance. You can learn more about TrailGuard at trailguard.org and Trailhead Supply, your full-service online packing supply store. Visit them online at trailheadsupply.com and by our great sponsors in the general store, where you'll find everything for the horse lover and folks that just love the equestrian and western lifestyle. Visit them in the general store on our website at equestrianlegacy.net. So grab a cup of coffee, take a deep seat, and when we come back, we're going to be talking with the Trailmeister. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
Every night neath the light of the bright starry night on the prairie, batted down all around on the ground, all the cattle are weary. With a blanket for my bed and a saddle for my head on the prairie, and the faithful ponies tethered here and there. Ride in the rain together, my saddle pals and I. We're side by side in the saddle, through sunshine and through rain. We ride, ride, ride in the saddle over the barren plain. Ride in the range together, my saddle pals and I. Through every kind of weather, my saddle pals and I. Every night neath the light of the bright starry night on the prairie, bedded down all around on the ground, all the cattle are weary. With a blanket for my bed and a saddle for my head on the prairie, and the faithful ponies tethered here and there. Oh, ride in the range together, my saddle pals and I.
That's my saddle pals and I, and that's the Hanson family, and it looks like we're doing a lot of West Coast stuff today. We've got the Hanson family that are in Oregon. We're going to be visiting the Flying M in Oregon, and now from the great state of Washington, let's welcome to the show Robert Eversall. Hey, Robert.
Hey, Gary and Tina Mae. It's great to be back again. Thanks so much for having me.
Good to have
we
you
love
here
having
today.
You.
Oh. Well, you know, when Gary started off and you're talking about spring has sprung, and you know, certainly it is here. It's going to be up to 67 today, the weatherman says, and it's just glorious out, and I think a lot of us are really itching to hit the trails. Even in your neck of the woods, Gary, it's starting to get warm, you know, but you might still have some snow on the ground.
Well, it's finally gone. It's finally gone. So we're looking for a few buttercups to start popping up pretty soon. The grass is starting to get green. It's amazing how quickly things can change and a few days of warm weather, and it's going to be ready to get out and start mowing before too long.
Oh
heavens. My goodness.
Not looking forward to the mowing.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what we have horses for, isn't it? So they do the mowing for us, I thought.
There you go. Right.
Horses and goats. If you're down here in Tennessee, a lot of goats.
There
so,
you go. Hope
anyway.
Springs eternal.
Gotta think green, Gary. Gotta think green.
Gotta think green. But anyway, we've got folks that are ready to hit the trails, and I posted a photo yesterday on Facebook. And had a lot of folks that were commenting, and they're all ready to get out and start riding, the ones that haven't been already. And that's kind of what we want to talk about a little bit today, Robert, is, you know, what are the things that we need to be checking on as we get ready to get back in the saddle for the spring?
Oh, heavens. You know, it can be a pretty big list. One of the things that I hear most often this time of the year when you meet people on the trail is, oh, that's my first ride since October.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot can go on in between October to spring. And it's certainly, I have to admit, I'm just as bad for it as anybody else. I went out on Saturday to a just a little park out here, front country ride, but, you know, getting a little bit higher in elevation. And I generally ride with a back cinch, flank cinch, and I had forgotten the hobble for it. And if for those that don't know, the hobble is the that little piece of leather that connects the front cinch to the back, so it doesn't turn into a bucking cinch.
Yeah.
And I forgot it. You know, thank heavens for bale and twine. You know.
Right.
So fix that. But you know, a lot of things can get, shall we say, misplaced over the wintertime if you're not, you know, looking at it on a regular basis. Or, you know, in the springtime is great to, you know, get that tack out and oil her up so to avoid the trail crickets. Just got to make sure you put everything back together, and obviously I had a problem with that.
You brought up a good point. It's
a
very good not only to check and make sure you've got everything that you need on your first trail ride, but also to make sure that your leather is in good condition. You need to make sure that, because things can happen, and not only oiling and everything, but, you know, the weather changes from cold to hot to cold to hot, and you want to make sure that you've got some good, strong leather, because you definitely don't want no straps out there in the middle of the trail popping or tearing on you. So it's always good to really check through all your equipment.
Oh, yeah. You know, we count on those big leather things we throw on the horses' backs to get us to and from safely, and, you know, that requires a little bit of care, you know. And so, you know, and besides, isn't it a great way to spend, you know, a rainy day out in the barn oiling up your tack, thinking about good rides to come?
It is.
Oh, you
it
bet.
So that, and then another thing, you know, if we're trail riding, most of us are going to have to be trailering to and fro. What about that trailer that we need to get? You know, does it have all the stuff it needs? You know, are the tires still inflated? You know, one of mine was a little bit soft when I went out and checked. So break the compressor out for that, and, you know, great time, you know, in the spring for those tune-up checks and things of that nature. So just lots of stuff to, you know, get all the dust off. Knock the dust off. How about that?
Knock the dust off. Knock the dust off.
Not only that, but I also like to, in the springtime, I like to get everything checked with my horse. You know, get whatever I need to get done, coggins or whatever it is that I need for traveling out of state. And not only that, but I want to get my horse's teeth checked and just, you know, just kind of get him checked out as well. And because sometimes you want to make sure that their muscles are still up, and you want to gradually get them into those big, long rides and get them back in condition. And so the horse is another that I like to keep in check.
Hey, let me ask both of you.
You are so right, Tina May.
Let me ask both of you this question. Do you keep all of your supplies in your trailer, or do you kind of empty things out after a ride, or do you kind of bring things in during the winter? What's your habit on that?
Tina May,
well,
you want to go first?
Go ahead, Robert.
Well, I could flip a coin.
Oh, I am bad, Gary.
Yeah.
I am bad. I tend to leave things in the trailer, and it's terrible, and my wife gets on me all the time about it. You know, in trailers, it's easy for things to get moldy and nasty, as well as to freeze. But I'm forgetful. I try to bring everything in. I think it's probably your better bet. But as soon as I bring it in, then I got to load it up again. And that's a pain
right.
in the butt.
Right.
Now, see, that's my problem. I hate to admit it. Well, on the lazy side. But, see, I ride all through the winter. So I ride winter and summer. But for our listeners out there, I would think that it would be best to bring them inside because you do have to think about the elements in your tack. So, but I do leave mine out there as well. And but mine's pure laziness because I do ride year-round. So.
Yeah, it's laziness for all of us, TMA. Don't be too hard on yourself now. Now, I did ask my vet, though, because, you know, in amongst my supplies that I keep, and I'm sure you too, you know, is that first aid kit, you know, with my tube of Bute that I hope I never have to use. So one of the things that I do in the spring, you were talking about, you know, are horses' tune-ups, you know, vets, Coggins checks, teeth floating, all that stuff. Every year I make sure I get a new tube of Bute to keep in there because mine goes through not only the cold in the winter but the hot in the summer. And even though they've got those expiration dates, it makes me feel a little bit better to have a fresh tube in there.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
So just a thought on that. And then, you know, I'll be the one to jump in there. So we talked about – you know, making sure our horses are healthy and everything. What about us? You know, our spring tune-ups. I don't know about you, but around the winter months where all the holidays are, I tend to put on a couple pounds. And, you know, spring is a good time for me to get in shape as well as the horses.
Right. Do you have a routine?
And I'll
do you
jump
have
off my soapbox with that one.
Yeah, do you have,
do
a,
I have
routine?
A routine?
Yeah, do you have a routine that you go through to get in
shape?
I do. What do you
do? I do. The wife and I run or jog every morning.
Oh, that's great.
So it's a slow shuffle. How about that? we're not running any races, that's for sure. But yeah, so we do that. You know, but that's something I picked up, you know, as one of Uncle Sam's misguided children years ago, you know.
Right.
If I don't have my little bit of exercise in the morning, it's just, I feel off for the rest of the day. I'm not saying that's good or bad. It just is for me. There's many times I think I'd prefer to stay in bed. I think Tim has it right.
Well, what is a checklist when you're getting ready to get out, you know, if you've had everything brought in for the winter? And you're getting ready to resupply your trailer. What are the most important things that you check? Now, you mentioned your first aid kit, but what else do you check off?
Duct tape. If you can't fix it with duct tape, all is lost.
All right.
Of course, let's see.
Baling twine you've already used.
Go ahead.
Baling twine you've already used.
Yes, so. Baling twine.
All right.
Yeah, the big things that I check... You know, but certainly before we go on any big trips, you know, I check to make sure that my trailer is all right. And I generally try to schedule a trailer maintenance thing. So I hate to admit it, but I don't know about cars and trucks and trailer type things. I'm not mechanically inclined.
Mm-hmm.
So when I take my horses in, you know, for their vet checks and stuff in the spring and my spring tune-up with the doctor, I'll generally take the truck and the trailer in as well early spring where I get, you know, what do they call it, the bearings, where they do something with grease and pack them or something,
mm-hmm.
you know, that kind of stuff. You know, I go through my first aid kit, you know, to make sure that nothing's expired. That can happen. Or because I'm lazy and forgot to bring it in, you know, maybe I've had something freeze and bust over the winter as well. I've had that happen before. And my much
right.
better half, Celeste, says, I told you so.
Right, right.
And I say, I know, I forgot. and
I
then,
also
you know,
like
the tack.
To, because I do ride year-round, I also like to wash my trailer just to get that salt off of it. And when it gets starts getting
oh,
warmer and we're
excellent.
Getting
excellent.
I like to kind of wash things up and get that salt off of there as well. So that's kind of a...
Well, a lot of
yeah,
our listeners...
Do you pull your...
Go ahead.
I was just going to ask Tina if she pulls the mats out from her trailer the way we're supposed to, that I tend to not.
Actually, I do.
When she cleans it.
I do pull them out,
you
but
do.
Not after... Some people do it after every ride, and I, honestly, I do it twice a year. I pull out my mats completely,
okay.
and then I wash them out. But since I did it last year in the fall, and then I'll do it again in the spring because, again, I ride all year. Now, if people don't ride through the winter months and they do it in the fall, naturally they don't have
Gary?
To do it again in the spring because it was sitting there.
Yes, sir.
But, yeah, I do it twice
Gary,
a year.
Gary, I hear somebody on the show just really, really throwing it in everybody's face that she rides all year long.
I hear that.
It's just that it's different.
That.
Some people ride year-round and some people don't. So I do different things than other people. I don't ride as much in the winter, though. I have to say that. Sometimes it's around here because I do pull off my horse's shoes, give them a break. So
right.
I don't want
right.
it to sound
okay.
Well, let's kind of direct this thing to where most of our listeners probably are, and you know, and I'm at an age where I enjoy riding when the weather's nice. So if it's pouring down rain in the morning, I'm not going to get my slicker out and go ride. I'm going to wait for a pretty day to go do it. And I think probably a lot of our listeners are like that. So if you're getting ready to do those first spring rides and you're doing your day rides, what are some of the things that you need to make sure that you have with you, either on you or in your saddlebags?
Oh, heavens. Well, you know, Tina, you want to shoot on that one and I'll tag on? Or you want me to go first?
Well, you know, naturally you want to keep your hoof pick always on you. And I like to take a slicker with you because you never know when those spring rains may creep up on you. And you can't always trust the weatherman because it can happen. I always, no matter when I ride, I like to have extra strings or something extra in case there is a malfunction or for whatever kind of emergency. Naturally, if you're going on a long, it depends where you're going. It depends how long the ride is.
Right.
But I like to keep, I like to carry a boot with me, even though I use shoes on my horse.
Mm-hmm.
But I always like to take an extra boot in case they throw a shoe. I can, you know, throw a boot on. But those are just simple things. And, you know, when I start out, if my horses have had a long rest, I also start out with short rides, and then I start in the hills, and then, you know, each day it gets longer and longer because, you know, their muscles need to get used to the saddle and the weight bearing and the riding as well as their leg muscles and things like that. So you got to get them in condition if they've been sitting. So I like to gradually.
You are so right about that.
Get
right.
my horses in condition.
You know,
and two gets me in condition. So.
Yeah,
right,
we need to get in condition just as much as the animals.
Right. So do you have like a...
You know, one of the things that...
Do you have a workman tool
Robert.
That
go
you
ahead,
carry? You have a workman tool that you carry with you? Do you have some extra things to repair your tack if something breaks when you're out on the trail?
I like a workman tool.
Okay.
That's my favorite tool to take riding is a fencing tool. Because it's got your pick, it's got your elongated handle in case you get a brock lodged in. It depends what area you're in. It's got wire cutters, it's got a hammer, it's got so much stuff on a fencing tool. I really like having a fencing tool. That's my favorite. If I could only take one thing with me, it'd be the fencing tool.
Okay. All right. What about you, Robert?
Fencing tools are pretty right handy. Oh,
yes, they
well,
are.
I think Tina May really covered the biggest majority of things. I think the only thing that I would generally do different, and it's what I carry on every ride, you know, I always have that, the first aid kit. You know, I don't know if our listeners are familiar with what's called the 10 essentials, but it's those things to enable you to spend a night on the trail if the very worst happens, I guess, you know,
mm-hmm.
not comfortably, but to spend the night on the trail. Because, you know, I'm a big believer in that the front country can turn into the back country in a heartbeat. And I just want to be prepared. So, you know, even if the, like Tina said, the weatherman can be wrong, so that rain slicker really never leaves. The first aid kit, you know, the cell phone, you know, the map, the compass always stays on me. And I even take those things when, you know, when I'm going right around the corner, because, you know, things can happen. And,
right.
you know, I might come off, and even though I'm within the city limits of Spokane, there aren't any houses around for quite a while.
Right.
You know, so I want to be able to, you know, call for help if need be. Hope I never have to. So, you know, that kind of stuff. You know, those are my big hot buttons, I guess. Stuff to spend an uncomfortable night on the trail, but to be able to do it without, you know, even worse consequences. But, you know, can I tell a story?
Yeah, go ahead.
I got a story about tack, and it's embarrassing because it happened to me. And
Uh-oh.
It's exactly what
Uh-oh,
Tina May was talking about earlier. Oh, yeah, you know, don't listen to what I say. Listen to what I've done so you don't have to do it. I went out for a ride a few years back, and it was one of those, well, it wasn't terribly early because it was a high country, but I didn't check the Latigo. I mean, at that time I ran leather Latigos, you know, for my front cinch, and it broke on me at lunch. And so I was, heavens, 10 miles from the trailhead, and my Latigo broke, you know. So now how am I going to hold my silly saddle on? And it was
balance.
Embarrassing. It was really embarrassing because I was with a bunch of friends. And the horse didn't mind because he didn't have a cinch on him now. But I certainly didn't want to walk back. So I wound up using my belt and my pocket knife to make holes to make a Latigo, all because I didn't take the 20 seconds to check it out before the ride. It happens. So Tina May was so right when she, you know, talked about looking at all those straps because they don't last forever.
That's right. That's
nope.
right. Well, we want to take a quick break, and when we come back, and we've got probably about 10 minutes left or so, but you've got a little program that you're doing called the ABCs of Trail Riding or something, don't you, Robert?
Oh, yeah. It's a new presentation I put together just for the Backcountry Horsemen of California's Rendezvous this week.
All right.
The,
well, when we come back.
Has already flown by. We can talk about that.
Yeah, we'll talk about that for a few minutes, but let's take care of just a little bit of business right now. And we want to talk about one of our great sponsors, and that's TrailGuard, 24-hour roadside travel assistance with unlimited vehicle towing to a dealership that services your make vehicle, a second tow vehicle to get your trailer and horses home or to your destination, 24-hour coverage for you in your vehicle or one that you're driving or anyone driving your vehicle, and a 24-hour personal assistant to help plan your trip and much more. TrailGuard was founded with one mission in mind, and that's guarding you down life's trails. You can learn more today at trailguard.org. And we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back to talk a little bit about the ABCs of trail riding. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
Get your gear together. Can you hear that prairie song? The winds of change are whispering, it's time to move along. That pony in the pasture's growing lazy and fat. There's something out there calling you, just don't know where it's at. You've got a rambling, restless bone inside, so ride, cowboy, ride. Throw your saddle over, son, and draw the cinch up tight. Fill up those saddlebags with rub and ride into the night. There's trails that you ain't ridden yet and places you ain't seen. There's beauty over yonder like most men can only dream. If you don't find it, it won't be cause you ain't tried. Ride, cowboy, ride. Ride over. Rock bottom lonely, well, just know you're not alone. When the world is closing in and you're longing to be free, pack away your troubles and come right along with me. Till your heart soars like the eagle when she flies. Ride, cowboy, ride. Ride over the mountain just to see the other side.
Ride, cowboy, ride, which is what we all are ready to do this spring. And we do want to mention that we have a little promotion going on with Equestrian Legacy Radio right now. We love to be liked on Facebook. So if you'll go and like our Facebook page, Equestrian Legacy Radio, then we're going to draw for a winner for two Michael Martin Murphy concert tickets. And that concert will be at the Circle E Guest Ranch in Belvedere, Tennessee on June the 6th, part of our trail ride and benefit for the Fiona Rose Murphy Foundation. And we'll announce the winner of that on April the 2nd on the Campfire Cafe. So go like our page on Facebook, Equestrian Legacy Radio, and you could win two tickets to hear the legendary Michael Martin Murphy. So let's do a little Reader's Digest version right now, Robert, of the ABCs.
Okay, well, the ABCs, well, you know, we've already hit a lot of them. You know, Tina May hit F for fitness, you know. let's work ourselves and our mounts into these long rides, you know. So let's talk with our vets, you know. Use these spring months as a way to get in shape for a longer ride, but don't head into it, you know, immediately. Lot to ask your mount as well as us. So that would be F for fitness. Let's see what would be another one. We talked about this as well. D is for duct tape, because if you can't fix it with that, all is lost.
Right.
You know, so, you know, be ready for those minor inconveniences, you know, where if you've got, you know, some duct tape, some baling twine, you know, stashed in the bottom of that saddlebag, you can do a quick fix and kind of keep you from having to head back to camp early or even worse, afoot. Let's see, what might be another good one? Let's work from the back end of the alphabet. How about W for walk? And not walking as opposed to trotting or loping, but walking for us. You know, I'm anybody that's ever ridden with me knows I'm deathly afraid of heights. And I have no shame and no problems, you know, if I need to get off my 14-hand pony and get off and walk and just, you know, compose myself, I have no problems doing that. And I don't think there is any problem with that. You know, if you're, especially those first rides of the year where perhaps we're not quite comfortable and neither are our mounts, you know,
right.
If you feel safer, get off, you know. I think anybody who says otherwise is silly, quite frankly. That's my two cents. You know, there's certainly times where you don't want to get off, but, you know, it is what it is. And then I'm trying to think backwards on the alphabet. Everybody
can do it. I want to chime
ABC,
in on that right there, what you
backwards.
Just said. And when you have
yes.
a fear, your horse knows it. And there's nothing out there to prove. It, you know, the partnership is between you and your horse. And if something scares you, you need to adjust accordingly to what will help you as well as the horse. And if that means get off and walk them, then so be it. But I know a lot of people always think they got to cowboy up or do this or do that. And, you know, I keep my horse up front, and there's a lot of things that I really want to keep my, you know, a lot of people want to go up the cliff. Well, I'm not going to make my horse go off a cliff unless he has to. And he knows that, and that's why I have confidence
mm-hmm.
in him that if that ever is something that I need to do, I will do it. Same thing with crossing water. People have a lot of problem with the horses because they're not used to it, and they go on to this big ride, and they have everybody there. You know, if don't get hurt, and don't get your horse hurt. And so if you're
afraid of height, you're so right.
The horse will feel it, you know, within you. I mean, they got that sixth sense. So do it safe. Safety's first. Even if you got
exactly.
to try.
And, I mean, there's the worst thing I think I ever hear is, you know, oh, you got a cowboy up. Or for female listeners, put your big girl panties on. I mean, that doesn't help anybody. You know, work with somebody over their fears. But, you know, a great way to handle fears, you know, we'll go back to the alphabet, you know, urban trails.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think front country rides are a great place to build those skill sets and the confidence to go further afield, you know.
Absolutely.
You know, you were just talking about stream crossings. Don't wait to find out if your horse has a problem with stream crossings, you know, on a giant group trek or group trip.
Amen to that. That's for sure.
Well, I'm going to add my two cents to the alphabet right quickly, and we're going to have to kind of end this. And that would be two letters, B-S. And not what you think. It's be sensible and be sensible and be safe when you're out on the trails, both for yourself and for your horse. And we're going to have to wrap this up because we're going to go to Oregon in just a minute and visit with the Flying M Ranch with Barbara Mitchell and Jessica Reber. But Robert, let's tell folks where they can find the Trailmeister.
You can find the Trailmeister on the web at www.trailmeister.com. Or later this week in Angels Camp, California, at the Backcountry Horsemen of California Rendezvous, where I'll be one of the clinicians on deck. And the following weekend, I'll be at the Backcountry Horsemen of Washington's Rendezvous in Ellensburg, Washington, where I'll again be one of the speakers. So that's where you can find me.
All right. Well, you've got a great website, so we're going to encourage people to go visit trailmeister.com, and that's TRAILMEISTER. And catch Robert out on the trails at some of these speaking engagements. And maybe next time, Robert, you can give us a little update on what's going on with backcountry horsemen out there at these different rendezvous.
Lots of great food.
All right.
You know the way to my heart. But we can do that. We can do that. It was wonderful to talk with everybody.
All right. Well, thanks, Robert. And again, visit trailmeister.com. And, Robert, you like folks to like you on Facebook, don't you?
I do. I do. You can find me either at Trailmeister or Robert Trailmeister Eversole. Be my friend. You know, make me feel special.
And you are. And you are. All right. Well, listen, thanks so much. And we will talk with you soon, my friend. Thanks very much.
Sounds great.
Bye, Robert.
Have a wonderful month. Bye-bye now.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. And so we're going to take a real quick break. We'll be back in just a moment to talk with Barbara Mitchell and Jessica Reber at the Flying M Ranch. We remind you that Saddle Up America is brought to you by Trailhead Supply, your source for the best camping gear, horse camping equipment, and horse riding gear, and visit them at trailheadsupply.com and at TrailGuard, 24-hour roadside travel assistance. Visit them at trailguard.org. And when we come back, we're going to be visiting with the Flying M Ranch.
Washington claimed this land for posterity. buffalo.
That is Belinda Gales, Along the Buffalo, and I do want to mention that join Belinda this Sunday morning for Blessed Trails, and we're going to be visiting with a great young lady in Canada, Naomi Bristow, and so that'll be a fun show this Sunday. But we want to visit one of the jewels in Oregon, and that is an historic ranch, and that's the Flying M Ranch, and we want to welcome right now Barbara Mitchell and Jessica Reber. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm the old grandma. Everybody calls me Grandma Barbara, and Jessica is my granddaughter, and she is our head wrangler, and she's really my boss.
Oh, gosh. Well, we're happy to have both of you ladies with us, and, you know, it's you've got a great facility out there and very historic place. Tell us, Barbara, if you would, a little bit about the background of Flying M Ranch.
Well, my mother and father-in-law, C.B. and Ivan Mitchell, came here in the early 1900s. They lived here before they bought the property, and that started in 1923. We added to it, and then we sold some of it, but they mostly did sheep, and we did horses. So, and we kind of got to be a little mini resort ranch, and right now what we have is primitive camping and all kinds of different horseback riding events. And we also have people that come with their own horses and use our trails and camp.
Right.
If you want to know about the trails, my granddaughter knows more about them now than I do, and then I can talk about some of the events if you wish.
Well, I'd like, if you would, before we do that, let's talk a little bit about the history of the place, because I think you're located along what was the Trask Mountain Stagecoach route, aren't you?
Yeah, we are. It went right through here, and there was a stage stop and an inn that was here. And then originally we had a big log lodge, two of them actually, that are right across from where we're located now, where people would come and stay. And now it's a Christian retreat where they minister to single moms and their kids. So basically that's kind of the history of the canyon. It used to be a big logging area, but it's not now. And part of our property, which is located about 13 miles west of here in the Coast Range Mountains, we have 80 acres up there, and the stage used to stop up there, and we're the only people that own property for miles and miles and miles other than like big timber companies or the Bureau of Land Management or the State Forestry. And that's where we go on our overnight rides, is up to Trask Mountain, where we have this big log cabin. We have a 32-tie stall barn, a bunkhouse, a shower house, and a ritzy two-holer outhouse. So anyway.
Well, we're all grateful for those conveniences. That's a good thing to have. So that's great.
Yeah.
That is great. Well, now you guys are located, what, about an hour from Portland?
About an hour to an hour and 15 miles, time, west of Portland. It just depends on how fast you drive, because 5 miles of our road is gravel. I mean, regular cars drive on it and school buses, but town people think we're real hillbillies. And we're right in to the east of us, our own area. We have our own viticulture area, like Yamhill County is their own viticulture area. So if you're not riding horses, get tired of doing that, when you have a break, you can go on a little winery tour in our area also.
Oh, wow. Wow. Well, I know that Tina May was eager to talk to Jessica a little bit about the facilities and some of the trails there. So I will turn that over to Tina May.
Hi, Jessica.
Hi.
Hi. Thank you for being on the show. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the trails, what kind of terrain, what's out there to see, and kind of paint a picture for our listeners so that they know what to expect out on the trails.
Yeah, definitely. We're in a pretty unique area. It's kind of nice. We've got
Obviously, Oregon, all four of our seasons are so vibrant, so it makes it fun to ride year-round because you definitely get something different every couple of months. We do have a lot of dirt trails. Some of them are kind of a clay-based area, which are great almost all year-round unless it's getting really muddy. And then when it starts to get really rainy, since we do sit right in the base of the Trass Mountain Range, we've got a ton of old logging roads around us that haven't even been utilized by vehicles in years and years and years. So they're mostly grass paths, and they've got kind of a gravel base underneath, which helps with, you know, the muddy season, because then you've got really nice trails for riding on that time of year also. There's one main river that flows through the property, so lots of river crossings. And then as you head up on the hillsides, there's multiple creeks that flow into the river. So you do see water crossings. It's important to plan for that. It's hard to ride out here without going through a little bit of water at some point.
Mm-hmm. What about, of course, you're in Oregon, so I'm sure you have some pretty good hills out in Oregon and some scenic overlooks.
Oh, definitely. Lots of timber companies, so you do see a lot of trees that you're riding in, and then you'll pop out into some big views. We sit down kind of at the base of the canyon where we're at about 500 feet elevation, but when we ride up for our overnight trail rides to the top of Trask Mountain, our horses are climbing about 3,000 feet in elevation to get up there. So depending on how you loop around the canyon, you will definitely be seeing some hills. If you go all the way up, like I said, it's about 3,000 feet that you change in difference there.
Can Grandma buddy
okay,
in a
so
minute,
you
when you get clear up on top, which we call, we have a helicopter pad up by the cabin, and you can see all of the Cascade Range from up there. You can see, like, Mount Jefferson, Mount Hood, Mount St. Helens, Adams, all of those, and it's just beautiful, beautiful views.
Oh, that's got to be breathtaking.
Yeah, it's
got to be breathtaking.
Anyone who has access to Facebook, I do have a Flying M Ranch Facebook page, and it's such an easy way to see all the photos that, you know, I snap when I'm out on the trail. I try to put them up as often as possible. We have a lot of wildlife in the area, so sometimes you'll see elk and deer when you're out and about, tons of birds. Every once in a while I see a coyote out there.
Wow. So how many miles of trail would you say you have for folks to ride on?
Well, that's the hard part. I was trying to figure that out earlier. And, I mean, I know I can ride days on end without overlapping on a trail, depending on which way you head out the canyon. I mean, I would guess there could be easily, yeah, 50 to 75 miles of trail, and even more as you add on some of the logging roads that you can use to get across the canyon.
Okay. And in Oregon, do you have rocky ground? Do you recommend people to wear shoes on their horses?
You know, we get about, I would say, 50-50 on our people that come out here with their own personal horses and ride. I do keep shoes on my horses when we're riding during our busy season just because, you know, if you're out there for 5 or 6 hours a day, you might hit, you know, an hour or two of gravel along the way. But it's not like it's, you know, really big, rough slag gravel. And a lot of it, like I said, the logging roads, you know, they don't use a logging road until the tree is ready to be logged again. And so it might be 50 to 100 years before they even use that road. It ends up getting a lot of dirt and grass on it. It tends to
mm-hmm.
be pretty good footing. We don't
okay,
have a
good.
Lot of that,
okay.
like...
I go 50-50, okay?
Yeah.
Is it safe to say that you have trails for the novice and then all the way up to the advanced rider?
Oh, definitely. A lot of the stuff down lower in the canyon is really level. If you stay down close to the river, you've got nice level, wide trails. And as you head up, it definitely can get steeper in areas for our dude string, because I can, you know, I take people that don't own horses. I take children as young as six years old out on the trails, and they do great on the nice, slow horses. We just walk and mosey along the river.
Well, that's great. So that brings me to another question. Talk about the services that you do offer, because you allow people to bring their own horses to be on their own, plus you have offer a guide for those with their own horses, plus you also have a horses of your own that you let for people to have. So you kind of have a little bit of everything. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Definitely. The dude string that I have out here right now, I have 31 horses in my herd, and we can take easily up to 18 people out on the trail at one time. We don't have to have experienced riders because my horses are champions at taking first-time riders. And it's all guided when you're riding my horses. My grandpa, he was born here on the property in 32 and started the horse program in 71. So the horses have definitely, you know, the horse program has been going for quite some time. It's nice with all the established trails that he made over the years. And that's why it's so easy for people to bring their own horses because, like I said, there are so many well-used trails. Most people that bring their own horses don't really go with me. Every once in a while they do. The most popular ride that I guide outside horses for is the Trass Mountain Overnight Ride, and that's when we leave on Saturday, go to the top of Trask Mountain, stay the night, come home on Sunday. And I'm willing to guide anyone if they want. They just need to set up reservations because I tend to be more busy with people who don't own horses. And we can go for an hour, we can go all day. It just kind of depends how people want to set up their reservations.
Well, when we want to take just a quick break, and when we come back, let's talk a little bit about your facilities themselves, or itself, and let's talk about some of the events and some of the organized rides that you put on. So we look forward to finding out a little bit more about the Flying M Ranch, but we're going to take just a quick break right now, and we are going to talk about Trailhead Supply. Trailhead Supply is your source for the best camping gear, horse packing equipment, and horse riding gear. Trailhead Supply is your full-service online packing supply store. With their storefront location in Kalispell, Montana, Trailhead Supply doesn't just sell packing supplies. They stand behind every product they sell, and they use them. Trailhead Supply, your online source for the very best in camping gear, horse packing equipment, and horse riding gear. Visit Trailhead Supply at trailheadsupply.com. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
Blanket everywhere I go. Its colors may have faded, but it's still as good as new. You can bet I'd never trade it after all that we've been through. And sometimes I still get scared, but my blanket's always there. Made 100 years ago by the hands of the Navajo, sold by some old trader on the side of a dusty road. It still holds the hair of many a pretty pony.
Joni Harms and her song Saddle Blanket. And I think, Barbara, you said Joni is a friend of yours.
Well, I used to know her when she was really, really young, and me too. She used to play when we had our old lodge. Yeah.
Aww. Well, just a neat lady and one of your neighbors up there in Oregon. And Joni actually has a Century Ranch up there. So just a super, super lady. And so you can tell her hi. She may be listening to the show today.
Okay, all right. Tell her to come up and say hi if she's listening. We're here still. One of the fun things that we have, I'll talk about some of the stuff that where we serve food, and then I'll let Jessica talk about the other stuff. Like, we have dinner trail rides open to the public, and they can either ride our horses, they can bring their own horse, or like if Grandma and Grandpa don't want to ride and one of the grandkids is too young, we have a tractor-pulled covered wagon. And we serve, like, ribeye steak or chicken, homemade yeast rolls, baked beans, salad desserts, homemade desserts, coffee, hot chocolate. And we have a cowboy that plays the guitar and sings. And basically, it's the same kind of meal that we have on our overnight rides, and we have a cowboy that sings on that. We have sunrise breakfast rides. We have starlight couples rides where we just serve, like, hors d'oeuvres, and it's in the evening. We're experimenting this winter with a ride called the Chili Chili Ride and have a chili and cornbread afterwards. So that's kind of some of the kind of rides that we do. And we have a horseback wedding sometimes here on site.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And we have a log cabin that we're just getting fixed back up where we serve breakfast only on Sunday mornings from 8 to 9 o'clock. And because we have a little airstrip, a private airstrip, we get a lot of pilots come in. Like last Sunday, I had 16 of my pilot friends come in for breakfast. Or I should say 16 airplanes. So that's fun.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
and some of the times, like people...
does make a mean breakfast.
Yeah. And we have people that fly in and camp and go fishing because there's trout fishing in the river. If you want to come early in the spring, and we have salmon spawn, and that's really, the kids love to watch that, how the water sprays up when the salmon are going up the creek. So there's lots of stuff to do, and I'll let Jessica kind of tell about some of our other events and our camping and our trail fees.
That would be great.
There you go, Jessica.
So for coming out to go camping, it is just, you know, out in open fields and whatnot. We don't really have designated sites that you have to stay within a certain area. Just kind of, you know, make nice with your neighbor so that everyone has the room that they need. There are hitching posts scattered throughout a lot of our horse camps that you can utilize if you want. A lot of people set up high lines or panels off of their horse trailer. We do have one set of outdoor corrals. They're just about the size of your average box stall, but they are completely outdoor, and there's four of them. They're all connected that you can utilize if you want. to come in for the night. It's $18 a night for camping and $4 for each one of your horses. Or if you want to utilize the corrals we have, those are $8.
Okay. And what about cabins or those that don't camp? What do you have to offer as far as that?
Well, we do have 3 camping shacks. It's definitely still like that glamping that you start to hear a lot of people talking about, where you do have a building to go into, but you are still bringing all of your own camping gear. You would need bedding for the queen-size bed that's in there. 2 of the 3 camping shacks do have wood stoves in them, which a lot of our horse guests love when they come out to ride during the colder time of the year, because there's room to set up a pin outside of the camping cabin, and then you can get warm when you get back from your trail ride. But we don't have any cabins that are like house-style cabins as far as running water, electricity, all that sort of stuff. It is mainly all just
the camping. Primitive is just a step up from camping. That's the glamping part is the actual structural
exactly.
building.
Exactly.
And they're not ritzy. They're shacks. I call them camping shacks. And
but that's
some of the,
perfect.
Yeah, some of the events we have, like for over 30 years, the mule skinners in our area have been, they used to call it a poker ride. Now they call it a raffle ride every year over Memorial Day. And then the teens and Mustangs, you guys have heard of the Mustangs here from the BLM in Oregon.
Right.
They sponsor a poker ride. And then in Oregon, horses are a sport in high school, just like basketball and baseball. And so the Northwest Oregon High School equestrian teams also sponsor a poker ride here, too. So, and then we, people that have their own horses, we also provide horses with the Wranglers to go on any of the prize rides. We also do that, too. And then if you want to come and camp with your horses and go on a foot race, Race the Reaper, which is a 6-plus-mile extreme obstacle course, that on in September. So there's all kinds of other events that different groups sponsor out here at the ranch.
What is your most, what's your most popular ride?
What do you think, Jessica?
Well, as far as for outside horses coming in, that would be the weekend of Memorial Weekend. The raffle ride's been going on for 30-plus years now, so a lot of families, that's just their tradition, Memorial Weekend, to pack up, come out for the weekend, and go on the raffle ride. It's generally about a 3 to 4 hour trail ride that the Oregon Mule Skinners mark out, and they normally build a new section of trail every year, which is always fun because then it just adds that much more trail to the rideable area out here. And as far as our rides that I take, guided rides, the steak fried dinner rides are probably one of our most popular ones. They always fill up. Lots of people love them. It's a 3-hour event, various Saturday nights throughout the summer. And year-round, just my 1 and 2 hour rides are the most popular, I would say, for people learning to ride or coming out to try it for the first time, bringing their family to see if the kids like it. Starting with just 1 or 2 hours is a good tester time.
Right. Now, I want to ask Jessica, are you as good a cook as Grandma is?
I can make some mean desserts, but when it comes to dinner, if it comes out of a box, that's best for me.
Oh, gosh.
I tried to teach her the homemade yeast rolls, which she made and everything, and so she asked, how much flour do you put in? And I told her about, and then you just knead it till it feels right. So she goes up and she tells her mom, Mom, Grandma says that you just knead it till it feels right. How do I know when it feels right?
I like to be at the barn with the horses, but luckily I've got sisters and cousins. Someone's going to be a good cook.
Oh, that's good. That is good.
There you go.
Now, Barbara, you were talking about some kind of a Mustang event. You were kind of bragging a little bit on. Was it on Jessica that was participating in something?
It's her younger sister that's 16, Jelena. She adopted one of the BLM Mustangs. And how old are they, Jessica, when they get them?
She adopted hers as a 1-year-old, and he is 3 now under saddle, and she competes on him in OSET and 4-H. She's taken him to state a couple times already, and like I said, he's only 3 now. But yeah, it's pretty fun to see what they can do with some of those horses if they really put the time into it.
Well, that is.
Excuse me. The teams and Mustangs to raise funds are having a poker ride here this year too.
Okay. All right. All right.
If you can tell I'm proud of my grandkids and their horsemanship. They're much better than I am, even though I just plain old ride. I don't do any of the stuff. I just sit on.
We wanted to give you a chance to put your bragging button on a little bit, so that's why I brought that up. So that's always good. That's always good to brag on the grandkids.
Yep.
So you've got a ride that's coming up this weekend, and what is that one?
The Chili Ride. It was kind of an experiment. It was new, and we're making a rule that we have to have at least 10 people, so I'm not sure. This was a new event, so we'll see what happens.
All right, so if folks wanted to participate in that, you still have room for a few?
Well, maybe they need to call and give me a talk.
Okay.
Not, we can sure take them for
I just want to know, who's making the chili? Is it Barbara or is it Jessica?
Me. And the cornbread.
Oh, well.
Honestly, just I'm with you.
Well,
I take Grandma Barbara's cooking.
Right, yeah. I say the memories on the trail ride, but, you know, that's the important part, right? Have good food when you get back with Grandma.
There you go.
That's right, after a good ride. That's right.
How was it that people started flying in up there?
Grandpa Bryce, my husband, loggers, and when the Tussock Moth came to Oregon, we got hired way over in eastern Oregon, and so he needed to fly. So we built an airstrip, and he learned how to fly, flew back and forth so he could fly parts and stuff, and that's kind of how the airstrip and got started. And then when we built the first lodge, we extended the airstrip so we'd be legal. But now it's a private airstrip, and it's very short. It's only like now 1,200 feet. 1,300 feet, so it's like tail dragger type airplanes. I used to always go up and work on the Iditarod, if you know what that is, sled dog race.
Right, right.
And met a lot of little pilots, and after I talked to them, I think every pilot that I met there had been and camped on our place on their way through the country. So if you have a little airplane, we got a place for you to land, but you have to stop and give us a call and get permission first.
All right. Well, it sounds like just an absolutely gorgeous place to come and spend some time. And you guys are open year-round?
We are.
Okay.
Yes, year-round.
And give us your website so people can find that.
The website is www.flying-m-ranch.com. And if you're on Facebook, just type in Flying M Ranch. We're the only one in Yamhill, Oregon. And I put tons of pictures up on there. It's a great way to really see what's going on. This time of year, I always do little horseback riding specials. Right now, I've got a $50 two-hour special going on, regularly $70. So it's a fun way to kind of see if things are changing quickly. When we get a couple inches of snow, I always put it on Facebook in case someone wants to come out for an hour ride in the snow. We don't
mm-hmm.
have snow constant year-round, but when it does come, it might stick around for a few days. It's, you know, hit and miss.
All right. Well, it sounds like one of the jewels of Oregon State, and so we'd encourage people to visit their Facebook page and their website. And the more that you talked about the food, the more I could see Tina May putting this on her bucket list because she loves to travel and get out and ride. So when you mention food, I mean, she's there. So that's
perfect.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, especially Grandma cooking. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, you'll have to do one of the Truss Mountain overnight rides. That's the best meal with the best ride, I think.
All right.
Great.
Well, listen, we want to thank you ladies for taking the time to join us today and share information about the Flying M Ranch. And we've been talking with Barbara Mitchell and Jessica Reber. And so you can get some of Grandma's cooking and get out on the trails with Jessica. And ladies, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right.
Thank you, lady.
All right. Bye-bye. When we come back,
bye.
We'll be talking more with Tina May. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
saddle my horse in the darkness, ride out in the morning dew. I want to breathe some air that's never been breathed. I want to drink the wine of freedom, toast the good ones that we knew. I want to count a million stars and think of you. Want to see one more hometown rodeo, or his hat's off for the flag. We'll cheer that bucking horse in the wild ride. I want to shoot a hole in my TV set and let the silence ring on through. I want to count a million stars and think of you. Don't tell me that the West is dead and gone. My poor heart can't stand to hear that sad old song. If you're saying that you missed it all, I'm betting that you're wrong. Don't tell me it's dead and gone. Want to see one more Charlie Russell print in some old sale barn cafe, where the old men over coffee tell their tales. I want to ride out with a wagon, smell the scent of springtime sage. I want the wind at my back on down the trail. Want to see suntan cowgirl cheeks and long braids neath the hat. Want to hear the summer rain on the roof at a country dance. Then we'll ride storm to the light comes shining through, and then I count a million stars and think of you. Don't tell me that the West is dead and gone. My poor heart can't stand to hear that sad old song. If you're saying that you missed her all, I'm betting that you're wrong. Don't tell me it's dead and gone. Don't tell me it's dead and gone.
R.W. Hampton, Don't Tell Me, and Saddle Up America has been brought to you today by Trail Guard, 24-hour roadside travel assistance. You can visit them at trailguard.org, and Trailhead Supply, your full-service online packing supply store. Learn more about Trailhead Supply at trailheadsupply.com. And Tina May, you got another spot on your bucket list. I think Grandma's cooking would be worth the trip out to the Flying M Ranch, you know?
I think it'd make it all worth it, that's for sure.
I think so, that.
It sounds like they have some beautiful trails as well.
Oh, yeah, just a beautiful part of the country to get out and ride in, and something to put on your bucket list. But anyway, a good show. Always enjoy having Robert the Trailmeister Eversole join us. And it was great to talk with Barbara and Jessica from Flying M Ranch. Tell us a little bit about our Legacy Club, Tina May.
Absolutely. Our Legacy Club membership is free. The benefits are great, like discounts and promos from our Legacy Club sponsors and select campgrounds, dude and guest ranches, and even in many Western vacations. You are also entered into our drawings for free prizes, like our end-of-the-year prize of a two-horse Hydro Horse watering system from a premier Legacy Club sponsor, Hydro Horse. And our monthly prize drawing, like this month's two-horse Savvy Highline from our select sponsor, Camp With Horses. You can sign up to be a Legacy Club member at equestrianlegacy.net.
Okay, so a lot of benefits, and the Legacy Club is free, and you can enroll at equestrianlegacy.net. Be sure and go by and visit our Facebook page at Equestrian Legacy Radio on Facebook, and you will be entered in a drawing for two tickets to the legendary Michael Martin Murphy concert on June 6th at the Circle E Guest Ranch in Belvedere, Tennessee. And that is part of Equestrian Legacy Radio's Trail Ride and Benefit for the Fiona Rose Murphy Foundation. And we'll be announcing the winner of that on April the 2nd on the Campfire Cafe. So it's real easy. Just go like us on Facebook and you're automatically entered in that drawing for the Michael Martin Murphy concert. Tina May, you've had some exciting things going on this week. You got some kind of a saddle that you've created, haven't you? You want to share that with us?
Yes, I do. Now, it's in the trial stages right now, but so far, so good. And it is it's designed for trail. It's going to be the TNT Blazing Trail Saddle, and it's manufactured by Circle Y Saddlery.
Well, I have seen photographs of that saddle, and it is a gorgeous saddle, and it's got the things on it that you need to stay safe on the trail. So I guess they can visit you on Facebook, can't they, and find out a little bit more about that saddle.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I like likes, too. And it's Tina May Weber, and that's TinaMae. Weber, or you can go to my webpage, which is www.giddyupgaltinamay.com.
So giddyupgaltinamay.com, and you can check out and contact her for information on that. So anyway, a fun show today. We are international this week on Equestrian Legacy Radio. Thursday we'll be visiting with Clint Bradley in the United Kingdom, and then on Sunday we'll be visiting with Naomi Bristow from Canada on Blessed Trails at 9 o'clock, and so a lot of great things that are going on. Be sure and check out our website for more information on Equestrian Legacy Radio's trail ride and benefit for the Fiona Rose Murphy Foundation. 120 miles of beautiful trails to ride on. We've got concerts. We've got a cowboy up ball. The Extreme Cowboy Association National Championship is being held in conjunction with the event this year. We've got cowboy church on Sunday morning. A lot of great food. Tina May is going to be there. And
yes, I am. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, we've got vendors that are going to be there, so a lot of great shopping for folks that are looking for things that are horse-related and horse tack and all kinds of things. So a great event that's coming up June 4th through the 7th, and that will be at the Circle E Guest Ranch, halfway between Nashville and Chattanooga, Tennessee. And again, you can visit our website at equestrianlegacy.net to find out more about that. And then who do we have joining us next Tuesday on Saddle Up America?
Well, next week we have Susanna Gibson, founder and publisher of Trailblazer Magazine. Then we travel to Keystone, South Dakota, and talk with Jim and Sherry Smith, owners of Elk Haven Horse Camp.
All right, so that will be another great show, and that's at noon Central Time. You can listen to the live show at EquestrianLegacy.net. You can listen to any of the archive podcasts of all of our shows, and you can download our free mobile app and take Equestrian Legacy Radio with you on the go, on the road, anywhere in the world. So, Tina May, another fun show today. And any closing thoughts that you have? Anything you want to end with?
Well, I just think with people getting the spring fever, just to make sure that you check things over, keep safety first. And, you know, when I say check things over, look at the leather. Make sure it's still in good condition as well.
All right. So we want to remind folks, as always, if you climb in the saddle,
get ready for the ride.
Get ready for the ride on Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net. We're going to close today's show with Riding After Midnight by Clint Bradley, and be sure and tune in Thursday when we talk with Clint over in the United Kingdom. Thanks for listening.
I saw a crazy cowboy ride across my dream. He turned and waved to me. What could it mean? What could it mean? This crazy dream. I did not recognize him. His face was out of view. He looked familiar, like someone that I almost knew. Well, now I'm riding after midnight, and I'm
stars, heading across the prairie to the land of my heart. There's a cabin waiting there with freedom on the door. If I get there by midnight, this crazy dream will bother me no more. I saw the cutest cowgirl a man's ever seen. She came riding down a moonbeam, heading straight for me, or straight for me. Inside my dream, she rode up to me, smiled and took my hand. She said, "Now follow me, I know the trail." After midnight, and I'm roping all the stars, heading across the prairie to the land of my heart. There's a cabin waiting there with freedom on the door. If I get there by midnight, this crazy dream will bother me no more. Crazy cowboy, the one inside my dream, I recognize him now. Oh, good Lord, it's me, good Lord, it's me. I'm inside my dream. I'm heading across the prairie, bound for Neverland, straight on till the morning. Then I will understand. Riding after midnight, and I'm roping all the stars, heading across the prairie to the land of my heart. There's a cabin waiting there with freedom on the door. If I get there by midnight, this crazy dream will bother me no more. Oh, no more. No, no.